Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 288.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 288. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all your support. And thank you for listening. I always appreciate the listens. I always appreciate the downloads. To get the latest Jazz Piano School episode, definitely hit subscribe on your iMusic or Apple Music, whatever device you're listening on, Spotify, Doohickey, and you will get these podcasts sent to you when we release them, usually weekly. And again, we have 288 lessons out so far, which is amazing. I'm saying we like I do. I usually say we because my team and I that helped me put this podcast together and create it for me. But editing, stuff like that. But yeah, amazing that 300 episodes is coming up soon. If you're enjoying this, as always, I'd really love a review, which is really helps other people find the podcast and is very helpful to others to find it and gain popularity amongst the jazz piano education podcast. But I have a funny story for you before we jump into this podcast. And I was playing a gig the other night, and per the norm, usually I get asked jazz piano questions by people that are listening to me that are kind of hobbyists and looking to play, learning jazz piano in the, fans and audience, and also by other musicians actually that are playing with me because so many people love to play piano. I mean, piano is a really accessible instrument. All you got to do is take your hand and plop it down on the keyboard and you can make a note, right? It's not really like playing the trumpet or playing the sax where you have to kind of like learn the embouchure and technique and like, man, you know, those instruments, like kudos to the trumpet players and sax players and anyone that plays kind of like a wind instrument or a brass instrument, because those things are so hard to play. Piano is quite easy, honestly. We can just place our hand down on the piano. We can hit a note, right? Kids can play notes from the time that they're literally 2 years old. Cats play piano. Dogs play piano. Right? A cat is never going to play a note on the trumpet ever. I mean, and if that happens, well, this, you know, I probably died and went to heaven because it's literally impossible. So piano is, accessible, needless to say, by a lot of people. So this one musician who was playing the gig with me, amazing sax player, you know, he was talking to me about learning jazz piano and he'd been working on jazz piano. And he was talking about comping because a lot of people, they get into jazz piano and can play chords because chords are much easier to play than obviously improvisation where your right hand has to do a lot of technical work or solo piano. So the easiest way to break into jazz piano is just by playing chords, really. And if you play with a band, you don't have to play the bass. You don't have to keep time, really. If you have a drummer there, you can kind of just play some whole notes and chords and you can actually sound quite decent. So he was talking to me about the voicings he was using in comping. And he said, yeah, you know, my voicings sound pretty thin, and I have learned some pretty hip voicings, but it just sounds kind of thin. And he kept using the word thin and light. And the reason for this was because he's playing, like most students, I see literally 99% of all jazz piano students that go into jazz piano and start to learn, play above their voicings around middle C or above middle C. Now, when you play that high on the piano, it's going to sound thin because you're playing in a higher register, okay? So he was explaining this to me, and I hear this all the time. And immediately, my head was like, okay, he needs to know the mid to low voicing setup for comping, right? And it's extremely easy to learn. That's exactly what this podcast is going to be about. And you're going to be able to create the cream of the crop, the highest of the highest pro jazz piano voicings that I use. I used all on that gig with him that I was referring to. I told him, like, yeah, that whole last set, that's mostly what I was doing besides a lot of different other things too. But the majority of my comping isn't really in the higher register because it's too high. It's too thin. It cuts through. It interferes with where the soloist is improvising around. Most soloists are improvising between middle C to like two octaves above, right? So my comping, if I was comping above middle C or around middle C, it's directly going to be kind of combating or, you know, getting in the way of the lines that a trumpet's playing, sax, who knows, you know? So when you're comping and when you want to support someone, if you're playing in a band or whatever, even if you're playing solo piano, the mid to low register, which is going to be middle C-ish and below, is actually where you want to do the majority of your comping. Now, that's a situational-based statement, okay? So I would love to see you start there and take most of your comping down at that lower end of the piano and then work your way up. It's exactly the opposite. When you go online to YouTube or blogs or even courses in some jazz piano sites and things like that, you're learning a lot of fancy voicings, drop two voicings, extension, upper structure triad, voicings, and they're all right up here in the high end of the piano. And this can, like I just said, it can be very detrimental to the sound and the comping sound that you had. So I'm going opposite with you today, which is the way that you should start to go and the way that not many people teach or you would never even find out there on the internet. You should really start down in the lower end of the piano when starting to comp. Right? Again, the benefits of this are going to be you're not interfering with the improvisationalist, you're not interfering with the melody, you're getting a nice, rich, low-end support that's not thin at all. Remember my musician buddy who was playing the gig with me, he said, he kept using the word thin, and that's because he's up so high. Now, these two setups, the first one is going to take a little bit to learn if you don't know your rootless voicings. If you do know your rootless voicings already, then you are in luck. You're going to be able to learn these in like 10 minutes, right? And the only thing you'll have to work on is practice them through the keys. If you're a complete beginner and you don't know your rootless voicings, you'll definitely want to learn your rootless voicings. I'm going to teach them to you quickly in this episode, but there's lots of podcast episode on Jazz Piano School where I go over your rootless voicings. Obviously, if you're a member, you can learn your rootless voicings as well. But they're going to be super fast to learn. And step two is going to be even faster because we're essentially going to just pull one note out of the equation. Okay. How is that for a tease, right? You're probably like itching to get in there and like, let me know. Okay. What are these two voicings, right? So before I get there, I just want to let you know that I'm working really hard to build out the community for the members. And if you're thinking about joining Jazz Piano School, I'm redoing the community inside of Jazz Piano School, which is going to be fantastic. Right now, it's been on Facebook. I'm moving off of Facebook. Most people don't like Facebook. I personally am not a big fan of Facebook anymore. But their platform has served a great purpose in developing groups, and it's been amazing up until this point. But I really want to develop a strong community within Jazz Piano School where students can message each other, upload videos, MP3 recordings, talk to each other, have forums, things like that. I've found an amazing solution, which I'm going to be integrating into Jazz Piano School this year. So JPS is going to get a huge upgrade along with a lot of the different upgrades that we're adding in consistently, all the live lessons, the tune of the month, and everything that we're doing. So this is a great time to join. If you have been thinking about joining, definitely go to jazzpianoschool.com. Check out everything that we have. You can look over what the membership offers, what you're going to get, so on and so forth. So it's a lot. It's a lot to say, needless to say. But I'm super excited about that. I just wanted to share that with everyone for the members listening, even for the non-members listening too. If you were thinking about becoming a member, you can. Now would be a great time because we are going to be upgrading a lot of different things. Website's going to get a complete makeover. It's going to be really, really fun. I'm also working on a new voicing specialty course, which will be coming out in the spring. That's going to be awesome. I got an Oscar Peterson specialty course that I'm going to be working on after that. And then I got a cocktail course that I'm going to be working on after that. So very busy. I love staying busy. I love creating. I love helping you. I love delivering education to people. And it's not really work to me. You know, it's music. It's music. It's just educating students who love music, right? I could be working in a corporate office right now. I could be sitting behind a cubicle. And sorry, I just got a little... If you've seen Severance, if you haven't seen Severance, it's going to sound like I'm plugging Severance, which I am. It's like... But you need to go watch Severance on Apple TV. It's the craziest show ever. It's amazing. But it just reminded me of working in a cubicle when I said that. I don't know why I'm getting so stuffed up right now. But Severance is a great show. And again, they go to work and they're working in these cubicles. And essentially, they're like putting these numbers on a computer into this box. And the bosses keep telling them it's important work. And they believe it's important work. But they never really know what they're doing, right? That's how I kind of view working at corporations or cubicles. Not to say that corporations don't do some good things for humanity and in the society, but you know, it's always kind of like vague sometimes. Like what is the purpose of coming here every day, right? At least when I was working at the gym, you know, I knew I was helping people get healthier and fit and helping extend their lives, hopefully, or just be, you know, do things around the house or play with their kids. You know, a lot of clients wanted to play with their kids more when they got older and stuff like that. So at least I knew my work was going towards that. But sometimes you just don't know, right? I know I'm going on a tangent now, but the point is, I feel I'm so appreciative of this work, and this is why I continue to run Jazz Piano School, and I have for the last 9 years, and I won't stop because it's so much fun. It's so much fun to develop courses. It's so much fun to put on the Zoom programs that I recently just had. Meeting a lot of people through Zoom and running these online programs, which has been so much fun for me. And I'm going to continue to do that as well and continue to improve Jazz Piano School for all of you. So again, I'll continue to put out these free educational content lessons and things like that. But again, if you are interested in becoming a member, there's a whole lot more inside of Jazz Piano School that you can get for your jazz piano journey, your education, and see some results really, really fast with the videos and exercises that are in there. So anyway, with that being said, let's dive right in. If you do want to see the lesson video on YouTube without this long-winded introduction and updates to my life and Jazz Piano School, you can always go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jazz Piano School, and just watch the lesson videos. Very short intros, not me talking about life, talking about my epiphanies, my updates, things like that. But if you are in your car, if you are taking a walk, and you do like listening to me talk about stories, talk about updates to Jazz Piano School, talk about life, talk about TV shows on Apple, Severance, then you can always listen to the podcast and get this long-winded intro. And with that being said, funny enough, I used to put these intros on YouTube, which was so stupid. And I don't know why, but it took me like years to realize, like I started this business, you know, 9 years ago, and I didn't know what I was doing really. I had never done any sort of online content or business or education, you know, and so I was putting these long-winded introductions on YouTube, which was so funny. So people were sitting there for like, it makes me laugh, 10 or 15 minutes before I even started teaching the video, which... On YouTube these days, it's ridiculous, right? Because you go to YouTube to watch a video and get an answer to a solution as quickly as possible, right? And that's just what YouTube is for. But little did I know, you know, that's not how I was using the platform. Since then, I have taken away these intros because podcasts and listening to podcasts on, you know, Apple and Spotify, they're meant for talking. Like they're essentially like radio shows. So I feel open to sharing my thoughts, expressing myself freely on the podcast, the audio version of the podcast, because that's what it's for. And you don't have to listen to it. Again, if you just want the lesson, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com and just watch the video. But if you do like kind of, you know, listening to the updates of Jazz Piano School, hearing my stories about gigs and things like that, my insights, philosophies, etc., you can always come here and listen to the podcast. So just another funny story for you guys. But okay, with that being said, let's dive right into the lesson. Here it is. All right, so I'm going to show you two steps, and the second step is going to be extremely easy. Here we go. So you need to know your rootless voicing. So if I play an A minor 7 rootless voicing, and if you don't know your rootless voicings, I'll teach you them really quickly right now, but you should definitely practice those. Make sure you know them. If we take an A minor root position chord, which is right here, our first rootless voicing we're going to want to know is going to be three of these notes. We're essentially going to remove the root and add the 9 on top. Now you can think about the 9 as just being a whole step away or above the root. So here's our root, right, in the middle or the top of the chord. We're going to add a whole step above. That's going to be the 9 of the chord. That's going to be our first rootless voicing for this A minor 7. So right now, I'm playing an A minor 7 rootless voicing. Okay, that's going to be in my right hand. Now my left hand is going to play 1 and 7 of the root position chord. So I'm going to take out the 3rd and the 5, and I'm going to play 1 and 7. So I've just created, within under a minute, the very first voicing in a 2-5-1 that I'm going to show you that's going to be so important to comping in this end of the piano, okay? In the mid to low end of the piano, which creates amazing, amazing sounds. So this structure right here, this voicing, I should say, it's not really a voicing, but it's a setup. I call these setups. So your setup is your left hand doing 1 and 7, your right hand's playing rootless voicing. So you should be able to play this for essentially all minor 7 chords, major 7 chords, dominant 7 chords. Okay, and we're going to get into the 2-5-1 in just a second, but again, the first step here would be to practice your minor 7, this setup that I've just taught you through your minor 7 voicings. Right? So you should be able to play this very easily. And again, all I'm doing here is I'm taking my rootless voicing for the chord in my right hand, and I'm going through my minor 7. So you could practice up by half steps. Here's F minor 7, F sharp minor 7, G minor 7. You can go down by half steps, right? You can do the circle of fourths, which I highly recommend. So you can go C minor, you can go F minor 7, B flat. Now, clearly the goal is to practice. I have a lot of other podcasts about practice exercises and implementing things into your repertoire, into your tool bag, right? But this is the setup you're going to want to learn. So the next chord in a 2-5-1 is going to be the dominant chord. So all we're going to do here is we're going to voice lead our rootless voicing in our right hand to the next structure, the next chord, I should say, for a dominant chord. If you're a beginner, all you need to know is that you're going to take your 3rd finger, you're going to move it down by a half step, and you're going to leave the rest of the notes the same. Very easy, right? So just move my 3rd finger down by a half step. That's going to create my new rootless voicing for the 5 chord in my 2-5-1. Now again, 2-5-1. If you're a complete beginner, you don't know what that is, that's okay, don't even worry about it. But in this case, I'm playing a G minor 7, going to a C 7, I'm playing the roots in my left hand, going to an F major 7 here, okay? So that's gonna be the setup or the voicing, and all you have to think about it is move my 3rd finger down by a half step. Now in your left hand, what you're gonna do is you're going to voice lead 1 and 7 going to 1 and 3 of our new chord. Now, a new chord is going to be a C dominant 7th chord. So I'm going to play just 1 and 3 now in my left hand and my right hand rootless voicing. That's my new setup now. So essentially, I'm moving from this, the first setup, setup number 1, to setup number 2, right, which is this. And I'm playing a C dominant 7th chord. For more advanced players, this is your rootless dominant voicing, right? With 7 on the bottom, 9, 3, and 13. So now we have 2 chords under our belt in a 2-5-1. We have our minor going to our dominant. This is so important, okay? And we're creating some amazing sound. So even with this, you can start to practice your 2-5s now. So you can go 2-5. And again, my left hand's going 1 and 7 of the chord to 1 and 3. 1 and 7 to 1 and 3. So if I move to a new key, if I go to the key of G flat and I play an A flat minor 7 rootless voicing, okay, I'm just taking my rootless voicing here that I showed you before. And I'm taking my 3rd finger, moving it down by a half step. I'm taking my 1 and 7 in my left hand and I'm moving it to 1 and 3. So I'm going A flat minor 7 to D flat 7, and we'll do the last 1 major 7 in just a second. But check out what you can start to do with these comping voicings I've just showed you. right? It sounds amazing. Getting down here, it starts to become a little too low. I would say this is probably the lowest you could go. That's going to be a little too low. It's a little too muddy, right? But this, again, is the number one voicing I use for support in professional settings, gigs, accompanying vocalists, instrumentalists, anything. It creates such an amazing, amazing sound. Let's move to our one major seven chord, and then I'm going to go to step two, which is extremely simple to make the sound even better. So moving to our one major seven, we have our G minor seven, going to our dominant chord, in this case a C7. Now what we're going to do here is we're going to use the same numbers that I showed you in the first chord. So the first chord, we used a G minor, well, we used an A minor 7, I used an A minor 7, but I took 3, 5, 7 of the chord, and I added the 9 on top. So that's exactly what I'm going to do for the 1 major 7 chord, okay? I've been playing in the key of F, actually, I kind of switched keys, so let's go to the key of F. So again, here's my G minor 7, I'm going to take 3, 5, 7, I'm going to add the 9 on top, which is a whole step above the root, 1 and 7. I'm going to move my third finger down to my dominant rootless voicing in my right hand, 1 and 3 in my left hand. Now my left hand's gonna go back to 1 and 7 for our F major 7, our finishing 1 major 7 chord. My right hand's gonna play 3, 5, 7, 9 again. It's the same exact setup as our minor chord, but instead of having a minor third in my thumb, I now have a major third, right? And a major 7 in my thumb here. So the shells of the chord have changed in here as well. You don't really need to know all that. Again, you can take your major 7 chord, play 3, 5, 7, add the 9 on top, which again is a whole step above the root of the chord. In this case, it's F. I'm playing my 9, and I'm going to play 1 and 7 here. So you definitely should isolate each one of these chords, practice it. Like I said, half step, circle of force, but you can also practice in a 2, 5, 1 format as well. So I can go 2, 5, 1. That would be my practice, and I want to get these voicings and setups under my hand. Then I'd move to a new key, maybe the key of B flat. 2, 5, 1, right? So now I'm getting these amazing, amazing sounds. Now, clearly you won't see 2-5-1s everywhere. You might just see 5-1, or you might just see 2-5, 2-5. But these are amazing, amazing voicings. And again, if you have a bass player, even if you're playing solo piano, you're getting the root in the bass, which creates a low end support for your voicing. And you're getting some amazing, beautiful extensions. Right? And some amazing movements happening here. Okay? So that's the first, essentially, step that I'm going over right now. Now, step number two is so easy. It's so easy, and it's going to create a drop two voicing for you. And so many people wanting to learn, students everywhere, even including myself when I was going through my journey, they want to learn drop twos, right? Everyone wants to learn drop two voicings because they sound great. They sound amazing. They're the highest quality jazz piano voicing you could probably ever learn. Bill Evans, everyone uses them. That is anyone in the jazz piano world, right? So here we go. What we've done now is I've set you up, due to the steps I've taught you so far, I've set you up to actually create a drop two voicing throughout this 2-5-1 very, very easily based on the steps that I've given you. Okay, so clearly you can see the roadmap you follow when learning jazz piano is extremely important because you can get to more advanced topics and solutions when you use the appropriate steps to get there. So now all I have to do to create a drop two is I'm going to actually remove my third finger in my right hand, and I've just created a drop two voicing just by removing my third finger. How awesome is that? So the whole time now, as I move through my 2-5-1, here's my 2-5-1 we just played originally, right? So G minor 7, C 7, F major 7. Okay, now what I'm gonna do, and again, you might have your fourth finger here, right, or your third finger. It doesn't matter, whatever one you're using. If you're using four, I don't really like to use four on my minor, but sometimes I'll use four on my major here in certain situations. But anyway, the point is, remove the second note from the top. In this case, it's my third finger. I'm gonna keep that up the entire time. So I'm gonna go G minor 7, C 7, I'm still not playing this third finger, and then F major 7, and I'm still not playing this third finger or fourth finger here if you're using that, right? So now it sounds like this. Drop two, drop two, drop two, right? How awesome is that? Let me play some more for you in different keys. are the most gorgeous professional jazz piano voicings you could ever learn. Okay, this is the cream of the crop right here, and I've taught it to you in less than 10 minutes, right? Now, clearly a lot goes into this that you gotta practice. And if I do my two fives, really amazing. If I add some rhythm, right? Some, a little bit of swing feel, a little tempo, like this right here, I use all the time. All the time, every single gig, every single performance I use to comp, I am using these voicings. They sit in the perfect register of the piano. Most people comp up here where it's a little too thin, right? It gets a little too thin. There's no bottom end support. That's the main problem beginner and intermediate, even some advanced students have when comping for other people and creating voicings. When you come down here into this mid to low end of the piano and you use these voicings, you're getting an amazing, amazing sound, right? Okay, now a little bonus tip that I didn't tell you about that I was gonna add. What you can start to do here is check it out. If I play my G minor 7, I'm gonna keep this third finger up, but on the dominant chord, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna move my top note down by a whole step to the 5 of the chord. So I'm gonna go G minor 7, 5, and then I'm gonna keep that note the same, and that's gonna voice lead into my F major 7 voicing, right? So this G stays on top. So again, one more time. I'm gonna move the A on top, or the 9, I'm gonna move that down to the 5 instead of keeping it there. Before, we just kept it there, right? We just went like this, kept it there, and then moved it. But now moving it on the second chord, the dominant chord. So A on top, I'm gonna move that down by a whole step to the 5 of the chord, and then to our 1 major 7. Okay, so when you add this little bonus tip in, what you're doing is creating this harmonized motion in thirds, which is really, really awesome and creates some amazing sounding inner voicing movement within your comping. Check it out. Right? How awesome does that sound? I mean, again, these are the cream of the crop voicings here. And when you add this little bonus movement into the switching of the minor 7 chord to the dominant chord, and you create this inner voicing third harmonic movement, right? And again, for you really advanced players, if you want to add a little roll up in your left hand, you can even go that one step further. Now, all these small nuances, spices, textures, flavors, they're really what bring your comping alive. They bring everything alive in jazz piano. But again, like I said, those are going to be the two most important setups and voicings that I use all the time in my comping, that you'll hear all the time on albums. And I guarantee when you practice these voicings and you start to integrate them into your playing in solo piano, whether you're comping for yourself, whether you're comping for an instrumentalist, a vocalist, your playing's gonna sound like a pro, because it's literally one of the voicings that I use all the time, one of the voicings you hear on albums all the time by Wynton Kelly, Red Garland, every single jazz pianist to ever have lived. They play these voicings, they play them down here in the low end of the piano with that bass note, sometimes without, obviously, but that's gonna sound amazing, and it's going to up the level of your sound instantly just by practicing these, okay? Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you soon.